May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The arrival of Candlemas is always a welcome feast, foreshadowing the spring as it falls midway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. Although I have to say the church feels to be stuck in deep winter today. In this bleak winter of cold and rain, we can perhaps identify with the writer of the Song of Solomon, who longed for the winter to be past, the rain to be over and gone. It may be just a little too early for that, but the days are beginning to lengthen out, and the natural world is showing signs of waking up. Yellow aconites are out, together with lemon primroses and white snowdrops, and green daffodil stems have emerged above ground, and in some cases their trumpet heads are trying their best to bloom. The earth is waking from its winter sleep, and despite the cold, the sun is becoming more life-giving. And so, in parallel, Candlemas also marks a turning point liturgically, this from Christmas to Easter, as the Gospel moves us from the incarnate Christ that turns darkness into light towards the resurrected Christ that turns death into life. Traditionally, this was the time for the blessing each year of the candles used in church, hence the name of Candlemas, literally meaning candle mass, the candles proclaiming Christ as the light of the world. Known familiarly, then, as Candlemas, this feast is in the prayer book lectionary, also called by the twin titles of the Presentation of Christ in the Temple, commonly called the Purification of St. Mary the Virgin. In its most basic sense, it is the remembrance that Mary and Joseph brought the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem 40 days after his birth, to offer the required and ancient rituals of purification and the presentation of the firstborn. Simeon and Anna are also in the temple where they spend their days waiting, watching, and hoping. And what Simeon then sees in the infant Christ is the hope of the Old Testament brought to its fullness of meaning. It marks the inauguration of something new, but this does not mean the eclipse of the old, so much as its redemption and the purification of its intention. Simeon sees in the child what the prophet Isaiah had seen as belonging to the vocation of Israel as a people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, a light for the world, now come into the midst of the world. Simeon takes the child into his arms. His song, which was to become the canticle called the Nunc Dimittis, is, we might say, the evensong of grace and salvation, of light and glory. His song signals the reality of Christ, that he is the light of the world, a light that overcomes every form of darkness. Candlemas too presents us with Mary and Joseph, Mary and Jesus. But here is the extraordinary thing. They are both silent. They say not a word. Jesus is the unspeaking infant, Mary the silent mother, marvelling, as our Gospel says, at those things which were spoken of him by Simeon. Simeon then tells her that a sword shall pierce through thy own soul too. For this child, whom Simeon has called Lord, is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against. And to what end, we might ask, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Epiphany and Candlemas not only reveal God to us, they reveal us to ourselves in the darkness of our lives. Simeon sees in the infant Christ the fulfilment of all the hopes of Israel, but also the disturbing means of it being accomplished. Each week we hear the gospel stories read. They are there not only to teach us about salvation, but to challenge us to be transformed by what we are given to hear and see. In this season of Epiphany, we are drawn into its very purpose, seeing in Christ our own salvation, and seeing that our lives are about being constantly turned to Him, He in us and we in Him, as we say in the prayer of humble access, through the increase of light and joy, regardless of the many sorrows of our souls. We find ourselves in that light of understanding, the light which counters and checks the darkness within and without us. So Candlemas, then, in the richness of all its allusions and associations, calls us to love the light that illumines the hope of the world. All our desires find their place of meeting in the light of Christ, who has come to his temple. The temple is the body and place in which we participate in what God seeks for us. This is why not being able to be in church at this time is so distressing for us. The lesson from the prophet Malachi speaks of the Lord whom ye seek coming suddenly to his temple. A wonderful image, it suggests too how awesome and fearful such a coming actually is. For the question is posed, who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? Christ's coming is the light that names the darkness of human sin and death. His coming to us each week in our worship, as word proclaimed and in sacrament celebrated, should both trouble us and comfort us. It is really all about what God wants for us, and so it counters all our idolatries, all the devices and desires of our hearts, as the prayer book says, about what we seek and think we want. God always seeks something more and greater for us, like the good wine of the marriage feast at Cana of Galilee. And this is surely the true role and meaning of the church, namely to be the place where we find Christ and learn from him, but a sword piercing our own hearts too, as our hearts are revealed to us. Even more, we are to be with him who has come to be with us, all our darkness and sin notwithstanding. In the words of today's collect, Christ is presented in the temple in substance of our flesh, so that we may be presented unto God with pure and clean hearts. So these themes of presentation and purification are thus constantly interwoven for us in our lives. We long for this undoubtedly bleak winter to be transformed into spring. Yet this feast of Candlemas opens out to the realities of another spring, the spring of our souls as redeemed by Christ, by which we become more, not less, than who we are. Here in Christ is the light that makes us lovely, the light that fills the temple with splendour, the light of God's glory. It demands something of us, to be sure, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, as St. Paul says in his epistle to the Romans. Like Simeon, we see in Christ our salvation, full and perfect in him. But our challenge is to be turned more and more into what we see and hear, as we purify and present ourselves in making this service, this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.